Welcome to Life Talks. I'm Ben, and I'm here with Brad, and we are two pastors here on staff at Life Fellowship here in Cornelius. Brad, how are you, brother?
Good. How are you doing, man?
Good. And so today we're going to be talking about how to read the Bible.
Right.
I mean, it's so basic. It's so elementary, right?
Should be, but...
Should. That's a statement.
Keyword.
It should be done. It should be understood, yeah. But it's not. And I was going through some... you love statistics, right?
Yeah, because I'm a nerd.
Because you're a nerd.
Yeah.
And I just, it kind of, you can find statistics that back up anything you want to believe,
yeah.
Right? I mean, if you want to prove something, just find a study and it will prove
it. Or make
it
up.
But there's a group called Ligonier. I guess you call them a theological group.
Yeah.
More likely Presbyterian Reformed theology. But they do a state of theology every 2 years.
Right.
And they ask the U.S. population questions about theology and doctrine, and then they ask, you know, they kind of ask evangelicals if they're self-identifying evangelicals. And one of the things that was fascinating to me was to see the downward trend of what I would call core essential beliefs of the faith, of the Christian faith, continue to decline, not only amongst the U.S. population, which I think most people would agree with, but by self-identified evangelicals.
Mm.
All right, and we were talking a little bit before the episode, before we start recording. This is a question, all right, they asked, to agree or disagree.
Yeah.
Jesus was a great teacher, but he was not God. Okay?
That is a good question.
That's a good question, because that kind of, I mean, right there, it's a stake in the ground. You either believe in the deity of Jesus, or you don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Only 62% of self-identifying evangelicals agreed with that statement.
Yep.
Disagree with that statement. So that means
concerning.
That over a third of evangelicals, these are people who would say, I'm a churchgoer, I believe in God and the Bible and all those things. One of the core tenets of our faith,
they either
agree with or are unsure of.
Right.
And that's why we're talking about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you don't know the Bible,
then
you are going, your ideas of what truth and theology are going to be shaped by something, right?
Absolutely. I mean, either themselves or culture.
Yeah. So the first question, obviously it's important we have to read, but why is it important for us to read the Bible devotionally? What is it about our faith that it helps us in unique ways?
Right. I think that's a good question, because I know for me, I struggle in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Not to read the Bible every day, but I like to read it technically and academically.
Mm.
It's just my personality. Devotional feelings, those are nice words for the dictionary that I don't relate well with. And I think that when we study the Bible devotionally, we're intentionally setting aside time to dwell with the triune God.
Mm.
That we are, and that's just part of it, right? And that includes scripture reading. So that is part of what we do when we set aside that time, is to read scripture to actually dwell with God.
Mm.
And that is important for a lot of different reasons, including where do we find our source of truth?
Yeah. So you mentioned something. I think some people, when it comes to engaging their Bible, that they kind of lump the usage of the Bible into one thing. How would you differentiate Bible study and devotional Bible engagement?
Right. So I think what I just talked about with devotional Bible, to intentionally set aside God, our time to dwell with God.
Mm.
So that is just, you're dwelling with God in relationship with Him, and Scripture is a big part of that.
Mm.
To study it, on the flip side, I think, is to have a deeper and better understanding of the Scripture itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I come to that, I'm very methodical in that. I'm thinking through, what are the questions that I'm going to be asking? What are the things that I'm noticing? And what are some of the meanings behind the words that I'm seeing? How does this connect with the rest of the Bible? A lot deeper in terms of the actual study. But devotionally, I am primarily setting aside that time to, how do I have time with Christ on a daily basis and to dwell with Him?
Yeah, I think that's so important for people to understand.
Mm.
Because I think, again, we approach the Bible in one way, I think we're going to miss one of those dimensions of that relationship. And,
absolutely.
And for me, I look at devotional reading or devotional engagement with God's word as it's more like what you're saying. it's more like a conversation than it is research.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, I think that if we all have jobs and different parts of our jobs, sometimes we have jobs where we have to meet with people and have conversations with people. Sometimes it's, hey, there's a project we need to get done and let's work on the nuts and bolts of how we're going to do this. And the same way is when we engage our Bible. Like, to me, having that conversation with God, having that close it's about engaging not just the mind, but the heart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I think the first thing that we've got to point out, and hopefully people can understand, is that there's a difference between Bible study and devotional engagement.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, today we're just going to talk about why it's important.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure, this episode's about why. We're going to talk another episode about how to do it. So, like, don't think we're going to solve all the problems today. but I think that one of the biggest problems I see today, and I want you to speak to this, is that we can look at the state of the church and the state of theology, and we can point to saying people don't know the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. Like,
they
don't have that personal walk with him.
Yeah.
And I look at another problem that I see happening, not just that their engagement with the Bible is less than it has been, but here's something I notice, and it's easy for me to do this, is that most of the truth that I hear from God's word is secondhand.
Right.
So what I mean by that is, I engage with the word of God through a sermon that I'm hearing.
Right.
Or a Christian book that I'm reading, like even a Christian devotional. Like, some people read a book that's like, there's a little verse or a passage, and then someone writes, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, those are all good. I love My Utmost for His Highest. I love the Tim Keller stuff.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's not enough? Explain why you think the secondhand engagement with God's word is never going to be enough, or it's always going to be lacking than that. A personal engagement.
And I think some of that has to do with someone's already done the work. So when we go to read Almost for His Highest, that's one I like to, and you're reading what someone else's thoughts are, you're not engaging with Christ in that. You're engaging with someone else's relationship with Christ, which, again, is not a bad thing, right?
Right.
It's we're peering into someone's relationship with Jesus, who we believe to be spiritually mature. But in that, we are not engaging with Christ primarily. We're engaging with someone else's works on their relationship with Christ, which has its place. I love reading sermons from past and present.
Yeah.
But when I'm engaging with God, I want to engage with Him Himself, not someone else to Him.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big reason, is that it kind of gives us a crutch to get to God instead of just going to God Himself.
Yeah. I think that I kind of have this picture of... and I know this is kind of gross, but you know how mama birds feed the baby birds? They chew up that that thing, and then they regurgitate it into the mouths of these little, you know, their little babies. Really, that's whenever you're receiving some truth of God's word from somebody else, you're in some ways you're dealing with their chewing and regurgitation.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying we're saying it's not bad to listen to sermons on podcasts.
Right.
It's not bad to read devotionals. But if you are not engaging with the person of Jesus personally, your walk will always be there will always be something lacking.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a question I think we all have to wrestle with, because you said you struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have struggled with it for years. Why do you think devotional reading and engagement has been so inconsistent?
Because it's hard. It's like, I know for me, our kids, we've got four kids that are young, 9 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like to, the sun comes up. It is like Frozen. The sun's up, so I'm up. And so for me, it's... kids are up at 6, 7, and as soon as that happens, the day's begun. And then by the time
hold on, not only do they get up when the sun's up, sometimes they're up.
Before,
how many times have you come into work and I'm like, "How's your night?" I'm like, "There's three
of the up all night." How was your time with Jesus?
Then this kid get up. Then this kid get up. So I mean, part of it is just life, right?
Part of it is life, and it's hard. I think that whenever we engage in a relationship with someone at a deep level, it's not easy. I can, the two hardest relationships I have in my life are Jesus and my wife, because both are revealing things in my life that I don't like about myself.
Yeah.
They're the sweetest relationships that I have. They're the best relationships that I have, but they're also the hardest. And I think with Jesus, it is hard because I have to put the hard work in. It's kind of like working out that I pretend that I do. It's, you have to put the hard work in, and it's not always easy. And like you said, life, sometimes life happens. And so I like the routine of getting up at 6:30, Lord willing, before the kids wake up, and spending time with God, but sometimes it's just not able to happen. And when the day starts going, it's hard to focus in on all these things have piled up, and now I want to spend time with God, and it kind of gets distracted because of life situations.
Yeah, I think that's life itself sometimes dictates what we do. And
right.
I remember my wife having, you know, we had three kids back to back to back.
Yeah.
And I was like, every 18 to 20 months we were having another child. And I remember that season of our life when, you know, three really small kids, toddlers and elementary age and diapers. And
yeah.
I mean, it seemed like every week one of them was getting sick.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember my wife, we had this conversation one time, just how she was like, if I can just crack open my Bible and read one verse, it's been a good day. You know what I mean? And I think what we have to remember that there are seasons in life. Like, one of the things we're not saying is, man, if you don't have that, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of your quiet time with God, like, you are failing and you're not, like, we understand. I think God is a God of grace.
Right, right.
And that God understands there are seasons in life where sometimes all you can do is put your Bible app on, push the play, and you know, just have it playing in the background. And
yeah.
And if you hear one verse that stands out to you, great. But so I think sometimes we have to give grace to ourselves.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect. It's not always going to look like this smooth thing. And I think some people get discouraged by that, right?
No, yeah, I think it's easy to, because I mean, there are, especially with newborns, you're up every 13 seconds changing a diaper or feeding, and it's easy to get into the routine and the rhythm of just shaming yourself because you haven't spent the time that you want with God. But I think some of the things that come out of that is, in those, you end up relying more on God. And you end up having the conversation throughout the day because it's, God, I need help. This is the 30,000th diaper I've changed today, and I don't know how I'm going to get sleep tonight. And so I think that that's part of the rewriting of spending time with God devotionally. It's a conversation that's meant to last the entire day, not simply, here's my 15 minutes in the Word. So we read the Bible devotionally, but we spend time devotionally in Christ with love for one another. So I think part of that is, I think it's easy for us as Westerners to focus on the nuts and bolts of this is how it should be done, instead of it's a relationship that's meant to last a lifetime, not our 15 minutes and then get out.
Yes, I think that is so important. We can't look at devotions as a check the box event. It is a conversation. We've got us to keep thinking conversation and communion with God, as opposed to, you know, Bible study, what did I learn, you know, because how many times did we, and we'll deal with this in our next episode, but how many times have you, quote unquote, done your devotions?
Yeah, did it.
And then you're like, what'd you read today? I'm like, I have no idea.
Pretty sure it was in Genesis to Revelation.
Like, I just don't remember anything. And so, you know, I think that, there's a reality of you can do devotions and do them in a way that doesn't really help you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think so. So just because you're doing them, get away from the, I check the box.
Yep.
Right? Get away from that mentality, because I think when you have that mentality of, I did it, I read it, I read the section that I was supposed to read, or I read the chapter, or if you're reading through the Bible, I read my four chapters, whatever it is, I checked the box, I walked away, but there's no real engagement of the heart.
Yeah.
There's no real engagement of conversation with the person of Jesus.
Right, right.
And so I just think that is so, we just have to move away. We have to readjust our thinking.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just the haphazardness of life.
Yep.
Sometimes it's the mentality of checking the box.
Yeah.
Any other things that you think that we have to address, or maybe dismantle our preconceived ideas of what devotional reading or engaging with the Word of God is before we can talk about how to do it well.
I think sometimes, too, it's just apathy. Like, it's just life is either hard or we're going through tough situations, and whether we realize it or not, we've become apathetic in our faith, and we've become, and I've been here before, just angry at God. It's just, this situation in my life has not turned out how I thought it should, and I'm angry about it. And it's okay. I think it's okay when we read the book of Psalms, like you're reading with people that are dealing with some real life situations that I hate this. This is stupid.
Yeah.
I want you to break their teeth in. Some precatory psalms going on. And so they're dealing with real raw emotions, and it's okay to, instead of becoming apathetic, which I know I can do, to take those to God and say, this is where I'm at.
Oh, wow.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And I love with the Psalms, especially with David, when he's writing some of those, you do see repentance of wrong attitude, wrong motive. But he addresses it with God. He doesn't just let it become.
Yeah.
And I know I'm guilty. I'm a flight person. I am not a fight person. So when there is conflict in the home, it is, what can I do to keep the peace at all costs?
And pretend that there's peace.
Pretend. I'm fine with pretending there's peace. We even talked about this. About what? I don't remember that even happening. But I think I can do the same thing with God, where I am angry about something and just pretend that I'm not angry and check the box, and just leads me to apathetic faith for a period of time until I deal with the heart issue.
That's so good. I think that is really important, what you just said, because we have to give ourselves the freedom to feel like, I don't feel like reading my Bible today.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, I shared this in a sermon a few weeks ago, but I remember a morning a couple weeks ago where I was just kind of pouting before God. You know, I literally, my arms are crossed and I'm sitting in my chair and the Bible's sitting on my lap and I'm like, I don't want to read today. I'm not happy, you know? But instead of ignoring that moment, I think one of the things I've learned, and I think one of the things you're saying, which is so good, is that being honest.
Yeah.
Being honest with God, because if it's about communion and conversation, then what we've got to do is say, God, I don't feel like reading the Bible today. I don't feel like doing this right now. There's a lack of desire. There's a lack of true, like, you know, like you said, maybe there's anger.
Yeah.
Maybe there's frustration with God. And to be honest with him and say, God, I'm angry with you because of this, but I want to meet with you and I need your help. Like, I can't remember the number of the psalm, but I remember it, maybe it was 73 or something like that, 78, but it was this idea of this person was really struggling because he was seeing everyone who seemed to be a wicked person advancing well in life, and then he was like, he was really upset at God and life in general, and then he's like, but then I came into the house of the Lord, and I understood, like, it's almost like I had this perspective shift.
Yeah.
That is what devotional engagement with God is all about. It's about, I feel this way, and it's okay to bring to God your feelings, but when you come into his presence and you read the Bible and you engage the Word of God with those feelings, then there's the opportunity for God to meet you in that and say, hey, but you don't have to stay here.
Right.
You can stay here as long as you want, but you don't have to.
You're not intended to stay here.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that is one of the most important things we do, is understanding you're never always going to feel like reading the Bible.
That is true.
There are going to be lots of mornings. I think John Piper wrote a book called, his one of the most famous books is Desiring God. But he wrote a book a few years after that was called When I Don't Desire God.
Yeah.
And I think, man, what a great reminder that there are times we don't desire him. But that's an even greater reason to engage with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think when we look at Scripture, in the garden, God's desire was to dwell with his people. He wanted to dwell with Adam and Eve, and then they eat fruit, so good reason to never eat fruit, in case you're wondering. So he dwells with them, they sin, and then the course of history is God wanting to continue to dwell with his people, whether it's through the tabernacle, the first temple, second temple, in Christ, and now in his people.
Yeah.
And so his desire is to dwell with us. And so, when we're angry, upset, not feeling it, we can still dwell with God in the midst of those wonderful emotions that we have sometime.
That's good. One of the things, last thing I'll say, and then we'll close this episode off. But my kids, they were at camp 1 year, and they came back from camp, and, you know, they do these 30-day devotional challenges,
yeah, yeah.
which is great. I mean, my kids, you know, I want them to read the Bible, but they came back from camp this 1 year, and one of their counselors or the people who spoke on one of the mornings at their camp they went to said, when he was talking about devotional Bible reading, he said, never stop starting.
Mm.
I love that phrase.
Yeah.
Because how many times do we miss a few days, miss a week, even miss a month? And usually it's that, you know, we take a step back and all of a sudden it's like, well, throw our hands up. Can't do it. I tried, failed, you know. Never stop starting.
Mm.
If you miss a week, if you miss a day, if you miss a month, if you miss 6 months, never get tired. It's continually learning. It's the progress of taking the next step forward. And I think if we have the motto of never stop starting, that we'll keep pushing that discipline that we need forward.
Yeah.
And we'll grow from that.
Absolutely.
So, hey, this has been a great conversation. We talked about why devotional reading is important, why it's different than Bible study. Next time, Brad, we'll talk about how to do it. Because I think a lot of people are saying, okay, great, I want to do this.
But how?
Let's talk about how to do this successfully. So thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Life Talks. I hope it's been a beneficial conversation to you, and we look forward to talking to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.